I invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me, if you will, to Genesis chapter 12. And I want to read verses 1 through 3. Genesis 12, verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. I think that we need to appreciate God's attitude toward the Jews. There are people today that are opposing the nation of Israel. They would wipe them off the face of the globe. And the bottom line of that is the activity of Satan in the lives of the degenerate. And the sad thing about it is this, it's also in the lives and the hearts of those who know the Lord. There are people today that are anti-Semitic, and that's very unfortunate. Whenever you do anything to the nation of Israel or to a Jew, you're poking God in the eye. How would you like to have somebody poke you in the eye? I just don't think that's something that we need to be doing. We need to love the Jew. In fact, in the bulletin, we have the passage in Psalms 122, verse 6. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, and they that love thee shall prosper. We need to be praying for the peace of Jerusalem. What does it mean to pray for the peace of Jerusalem? It means to pray, even so come Lord Jesus. There can be no peace in the land of Israel until the Prince of Peace comes and establishes peace in his land. In this passage in Genesis chapter 12, God says to Abraham, I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. I'd like to just cover these blessings that God gave to Abraham, not just to him only, but to his heritage as well. He says, I will make of thee a great nation. In Deuteronomy 7, in verse 7, it says, The Lord did not set his love on you, nor choose you, because ye were more in number than any people, but ye were the fewest of all people. This is consistent with God's way of doing things. He delights in making the insignificant significant. He delights in making the one who is last first. He delights in making someone that is nothing in being someone who is chief. In Isaiah 49, verse 22 through 23, it says, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I will lift up mine hand to the Gentiles, and set my standard to the people, and they shall bring thy sons in their arms, and thy daughters shall be carried upon their shoulders. Kings shall be thy nursing fathers, and their queens thy nursing mothers. They shall bow down to thee with their face toward the earth, and lick up the dust of thy feet, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord, for they shall not be ashamed that wait for me. Today, every nation is against the nation of Israel, basically speaking. There are a few countries that have a favorable heart toward them, and yet, even our own country, in its history, has refused to be a blessing to the nation of Israel. One prime example of that is the nation of England. England used to have the biggest and most powerful navy in the world. There was a time when the sun never set on the British Empire. That's all changed. England made a promise to the nation of Israel to give them a land. But you know what England did to the nation of Israel? When the last hour of British rule in the land of Palestine came, the British ran out of the country, would not give the nation of Israel any arms to defend themselves because they were afraid of offending the Arabs, because they needed Arab oil. Did you know that England no longer has the most powerful navy in the world? And the sun sets on England every day, just like it does here in Minnesota. It's not as big as it used to be, and their influence has diminished. Anyway, there's going to come a time when the kings of this earth are going to be taking care of the nursery of the nation of Israel. The queens will be doing the same thing, and they will be bowing and licking the dust of the nation of Israel. The nation of Israel today is the tail, like it says in Deuteronomy 28:13, "And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail, and thou shalt be above only, thou shalt not be beneath." Why aren't they the head today and the tail? Because Israel is in a state of disobedience. That's what disobedience will do. It'll cause us difficulties. It's caused the nation of Israel difficulties. But the point is this: God is going to make Abraham's seed great, a great nation. And Israel is that nation. In Deuteronomy chapter 32, verses 8 and 9, it says, "When the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. He found him in a desert land and in a waste howling wilderness and led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye." Let me tell you, God regards the nation of Israel very highly. When God separated the continents back in the days of Peleg in Genesis chapter 10, God foreknew how many people there would be in the nation of Israel. And so therefore, when he divided the continents up, he put so many people on this continent and so many people on another continent, and it was all based upon his foreknowledge of how many people there would be in the land of Israel. This is a perfect example, by the way, of foreknowledge and predestination. God foreknew how many Jews there would be. Based upon his foreknowledge, he predetermined the boundaries and the capabilities of all the nations of the world. And they were all divided according to that number. Isn't that neat? In Zechariah chapter 12, verses 2 and 3, it says, "Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people round about, when they shall be in this siege both against Judah and against Jerusalem. And in that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be in cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it." Does that sound like today? Is the nation of Israel a cup of trembling in the hands of all the nations of the world? Absolutely. I mean, they're shaking trying to fiddle with the nation of Israel. They're trembling. It's a fearful thing. And there's a warning. Those who burden themselves with this stone shall be cut in pieces. This is a warning. We need to love the Jew. To love the Jew is really to honor the Lord. Because the Lord, our Lord and Savior, was a Jew. And we need to know that. We need to appreciate that. Then the Lord said, "I will bless thee." Well, Abraham in Genesis 13:2 says Abraham was very rich in cattle and in gold and in silver and in gold. And also in Genesis chapter 24, in verse 35, it says, "And the Lord had blessed my master greatly, and he has become great. He hath given him flocks and herds and silver and gold and men servants and maid servants and camels and asses." God blessed him financially. Now, if we pray for the peace of Jerusalem and we love the Jew and we treat the Jew with respect, does that mean we're going to be rich? Well, one of the things that you need to keep in mind is this. There are some people that do believe that. But let me say this. The Lord is not going to allow us to store up treasures here on the earth, knowing that where our treasure is, there will our heart be also. It is very difficult for a rich man to be rich in faith. I'd rather be rich in faith than rich in gold. To be rich in faith means I am pleasing God richly. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. And let me say this. God's not broke. He doesn't need gold or silver. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and He owns the minerals under them. The point is, I'm not looking for earthly treasures. I want heavenly treasures. I want to put my treasures in heaven because I want my heart and my affections to be in the heavenlies, not here on the earth. And God did bless Abraham with riches. This is a type and a picture for you and for me as far as spiritual things are concerned. We're looking at heaven through the life of Abraham. We're looking at our inheritance through the life and the inheritance of Abraham. That's what we need to get the perspective of. Then He tells Abraham that I will make thy name great. In Genesis 23 and verse 6, it says, "Hear us, my Lord, thou art a mighty prince among us." This is the sons of Heth when he was negotiating with them for a burial place for his wife Sarah. He says, "Thou art a mighty prince among us." The point that I want you to get here is that Abraham was a mighty prince among the nations from which he dwelt. He made his name great. Obviously, his name is great because of the way the Lord referred to him in the New Testament as well as the Old Testament. And we could have looked at many places that would have affirmed this. The next thing that the Lord said, "Thou shalt be a blessing." Or, it's a commandment, be a blessing. In Psalms 147, verses 19 and 20, it says, "He showeth His word unto Jacob, His statutes and His judgments unto Israel. He hath not dealt so with any nation, and as for His judgments, they have not known them. Praise ye the Lord." How has God blessed Abraham or allowed Abraham to be a blessing? This book came through Abraham's seed. That's what this verse of Scripture is teaching us. "He hath shown His word unto Jacob, His statutes and judgments unto Israel. He hath not dealt so with any nation." In other words, there are people today that say Luke was a Gentile. You've heard that before? I've heard it before. If Luke is a Gentile, we need to throw the book of Acts out and we need to throw the book of Luke out. Because he has not given his word to any Gentile. He has only given his word to the nation of Israel. It's because of the nation of Israel that we know the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and we know the Lord Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, it says, "What advantage then hath the Jew? Or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because unto them were committed the oracles of God." The Word of God came through the nation of Israel, through Abraham's seed. Romans 9, verse 4 and 5 tells us, "Who are Israelites? To whom pertaineth the adoption? and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises. Those credentials are really good credentials. They're the ones that received the adoption, the glory, the covenant, the giving of the law. They were the ones who served at the tabernacle. Gentiles couldn't serve at the tabernacle. Gentiles could not eat the holy bread. Whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came? They gave us the Messiah. They gave us our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews 2:16 says, "For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham." That's a reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. He took upon him the seed of Abraham. And to me that is very significant. The Lord said, "I will bless them that bless thee." We've already mentioned the fact that we're to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, and they shall prosper that love thee. If we're a blessing to the nation of Israel, God's going to be a blessing to us. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray for the nation of Israel. We're concerned for them. And so, the Lord has promised us to prosper if we will pray for the peace of Jerusalem, and of course we want that from a spiritual perspective. He said also that I will curse him that curseth thee. In Isaiah chapter 54 and verse 17, it says, "No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord." No weapon will prosper against the nation of Israel. You remember the Six-Day War. I don't know whether you remember the jokes that came out of that, where the Arabs saw an Israeli peeking over a sand dune, and they sent up 50 men to capture him, and none of them came back. So they sent up 100 men, and only one came back. And the guy says, he says, "What happened up there?" He says, "It's a trap. There's two of them up there." No weapon formed against the nation of Israel will prosper. And you say things against them, who do you have to answer to? God Almighty. Now, if you want to do that, you just put a Jew down. You just start putting the nation of Israel down. May the Lord help you. May the Lord help us. Zechariah 2, verses 8 and 9. "For thus saith the Lord of hosts, after the glory hath sent me unto the nation which spoiled you, for he that toucheth you toucheth the apple of his eye. For behold, I will shake my hand upon them, and they shall be a spoil to their servants, and ye shall know that the Lord of hosts hath sent thee." Again, Israel is the apple of God's eye, and the nation of Israel will spoil their enemies. In Zephaniah chapter 2, verses 8 through 10, it says, "I have heard the reproach of Moab and the revilings of the children of Ammon, whereby they reproach my people, magnified themselves against their border. Therefore, as I live, saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, surely Moab shall be as Sodom, and the children of Ammon as Gomorrah. Even the breeding of nettles, salt pits, perpetual desolation, the residue of my people shall spoil them, and the remnant of my people shall possess them. This shall they have for their pride, because they have reproached and magnified themselves against the people of the Lord of hosts." This is a warning. This is a curse. This is a curse against Moab and Ammon. These are descendants of Lot, who is the nephew of Abraham. Lot's kids turned against their own people. You know, when you see that Moab will be as Sodom and Ammon will be like Gomorrah, a salt pit, nettles. When I was young playing on my grandmother's farm, we used to have what is known as bull nettles. And if you got into one of those things, you hurt. There were little stickers in those little bushes, so fine you could not pick them out. You just had to bear with the pain and just let them wear off. But anyway, the Lord said, I'm going to spoil them. Why? Because of their treatment of the nation of Israel. That's the cursing. It says, in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. It's through the nation of Israel God blessed the world. I'm just thinking about the several people in history, particularly in current history, when the natural resources of the production of TNT were exhausted because they used bat dung to produce acetone. It was a natural resource for acetone. And there was a Jew by the name of Chaim Weizmann. And he discovered the formula for synthetic acetone. This made it possible for the manufacture of gunpowder and ammunition, which turned the tide of battle in favor of the Allies in World War I. Because of what he did, England was supposed to give a portion of the land of Palestine to Israel. Instead, they just left them high and dry and defenseless. Secondly, World War II is when Dr. Albert Einstein and Otto Hahn and Lisa Meitner, all of them Jews, produced the atom bomb, which ended the war quickly. Saved many lives, many American lives. And then also, Dr. Salk, a Jew, produced the vaccine, which has almost eliminated polio from the ranks of all of mankind. He was a Jew. And that's not the end of all the blessings. That's just some of the real major blessings that have come our way. I can remember being frightened because of polio. And I remember when I was young in grade school, we used to go out to the fairgrounds and we used to go through the health building. And they had people in that health building in iron lungs. You don't see that today. In fact, I don't know anyone living in an iron lung today, but and all of that is because of a Jew by the name of Dr. Saul. Now, how does this relate to us? Ben read this morning Galatians about the blessing of Abraham coming upon the Gentiles. In Romans chapter 11, verses 11 and 12, it says, I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? That's talking about the nation of Israel. God forbid. But rather, through their fall, salvation is coming to the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy. Now if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminish of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? The point is this, God is not through with the Jew. They will be restored to their land. But because God has set the Jews aside temporarily, the blessings that were only to the nation of Israel have now been open to Gentiles. A lot of people teach that the blessings unto Gentiles is that Gentiles could be saved. That's not true. Gentiles have always been able to be saved. Always. Abraham met a saved Gentile named Abimelech. Jonah preached to a Gentile city called Nineveh, and they were all saved. Gentiles have always been able to be saved. What is it that Gentiles have not been able to enter into until the cross? But what is it? It says here, through their fall, salvation is come to the Gentiles. What is that salvation? It's the salvation of the soul. And what is the salvation of the soul? The salvation of the soul has to do with our heavenly inheritance. Gentiles were excluded from having a place in heaven. That doesn't mean they were lost. It just meant that their inheritance was going to be down here on the earth. And there are going to be plenty of Gentiles and Jews alike living here on the earth during the millennium. That's their inheritance. They're saved. Their inheritance is here on the earth. There are going to be a number of Jews as well as Gentiles who have an inheritance in the heavenlies. That's the reason why Abraham had two seeds. A heavenly seed and an earthly seed. Let me read these verses so you can get the picture. Matthew 10, verses 5 and 7. These 12 Jesus sent forth, commanded them, saying, Go not in the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and as ye go, preach, saying, The kingdom of heaven is at hand. The message of the kingdom of the heavens is not simple salvation. The message of the kingdom of the heavens is, listen, Jews, obey me. Live by faith, and you will have a home in heaven rather than a home here on the earth. Who was excluded? Samaritans and Gentiles. They couldn't have it. Matthew 21:43. Therefore I say unto you, Jews, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation, that is, Gentiles, bringing forth the fruits thereof. If you are a fruit-bearing child of God, you have a wonderful prospects of having a heavenly inheritance. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. This is a reference to Gentile believers. Gentile believers were not a nation, but now they are. And those who produce the fruits thereof will have a heavenly inheritance. Galatians 3:14, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. The promise of the Spirit is a heavenly inheritance. And then you can only get it by pleasing God. If you don't please God, you're not going to have it. That's the reason why it's so important to live by faith and to be obedient. In fact, you've got to be obedient first before you can live by faith. Genesis chapter 22, verse 17. That in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. Those who will produce the fruits thereof will be sitting in the gates of the heavenlies, ruling over the earth. In fact, right now, our enemies are demons. Our enemies are principalities and powers in the heavenly places. And God says, we're going to possess those positions that they now have today if we'll produce the fruits thereof. We just need to appreciate the fact that God has a special place in His heart for the Jews, and it's the study of the life of Abraham and the nation of Israel that will help us to qualify to rule and reign with Christ in His coming kingdom. That is why we are studying the way we're studying. Father, we do thank You so much for opening the door for us to enjoy the blessings of a heavenly inheritance. We know, Lord, that our only prospect 2,000 years ago was just simply a place in the land of Palestine or a place here on the earth. But You opened those doors at Calvary, not only to have a means of being born from above, but also to enjoy the blessings of a heavenly inheritance. We thank You for the nation of Israel. We thank You for the blessings that they have provided for us in abundance. And we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray that You'd bless the message to each of our hearts. And may we glorify the Father and the Son. For it's in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.